play football. Yippee!
I got to see the look in some guys' eyes that they were out there competing, playing hard. That part was good, and no major injuries, which is also good.
I know you're tired. I know you're hurting. And I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational. But that just wouldn't be our style.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
The CFB on OSG with your host, the Online Sports Guys.
Hey, everybody. We are back with another edition of everybody's favorite college football show, The Review. We are the Online Sports Guys, the OSG, on CFB, if you will. I am OSG Phil. Joining me today, as usual, is OSG Nelson.
Check.
And also joining us, as usual, is Jay Wilkerson, 16, Brother Wilkie. Guys, how's things been going? How are you enjoying your spring so far?
It's football spring. and football and football, last time I checked.
Oh, in your case, yeah. Soccer.
Well, but the F-U-T-B-O-L and the F-O-O-T-B-A-L-L, yes.
Yes, both of those.
And of course, we're wrapping up the spring football season. We venture back into the non-playing season before we head into the talking season, and then it's teed up.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And I can only imagine how many people are already counting down to August when college football begins the march towards the kickoff.
Well, don't we have media days first?
Yeah, that's
the talking season.
Yes.
That's the talking season, which kind of rolls a little bit into the criminal season, but that's a whole other conversation.
Oh, careful.
Yeah, I suppose I better steer clear of that. Really quick, before we get too deep into talking about kind of the last of the spring football games and a few other odds and ends going on in the world of college football, guys, where can they find us on the interwebs? We have a social media presence, I believe.
Okay, so let me see if I can do this promo without taking up most of the A block. All the news that's fit to vent your spleen about is at theonlinesportsguys.com. And you can also like, friend, and be a part of the conversation on Twitter at OSG Sports, at OSG Nelson, at OSG Phil, at OSG J-Dub, and at J Wilkerson 16. And when Anthony Goldman decides that he wants to talk college football, Wilkie will bring him back into the fray and lock him down in a chair. We've also got YouTube with some of our content. We've also got Facebook where you can like, friend, be a part of the conversation there. And as always, do not forget to download the OSG Sports app with all of the programming that we put out on the platform, whether it's college football, lacrosse, wrestling, anything else in between. Available iOS and Android. It is free. So download, listen, you get your notifications the second a program like this comes online. I think that's it.
Yeah, that'll cover the bases, I think, for the most part. Guys, we had a little bit. Coming to a close during spring football season, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, not a whole lot of spring games this weekend, probably highlighted by Georgia in their G-Day game, which really, on kind of a gloomy, windy, cold Saturday afternoon in Athens, Georgia, didn't really generate a whole lot of anything. Any thoughts on how things progressed or how the Bulldogs are kind of moving forward?
Wilkie, go for it.
Well, I mean, it was very much the weather like it would be in late October, early November. So, but, you know, it kind of had a feel of late season SEC kind of feel to it. But, you know, it was pretty controlled. You know, Jake Fromm looked like he was seasoned, 116 yards. He threw nice. You know, I think what the where Georgia is going to have to find is a go-to guy right now. I thought the defense, especially the secondary, played really well. But it's hard to really judge a lot of this on a spring inter-squad game. It's kind of a controlled scrimmage. It was a great atmosphere at Sanford Stadium, as always. I think the fans and Georgia fans are, you know, probably a little concerned about the passing game. And, you know, I don't know if that's justified because that was pretty controlled yesterday. The wind was really messing with Jake Fromm and Matt Landers when they got in there to throw. And it was a pretty stiff breeze in Athens on Saturday. But, you know, when you watch it on the surface, I mean, this is a team that's going to contend for the SEC title. They're going to be the favorite in the East. They're going to be a top four team when the preseason polls come out. And I think they didn't do anything that would in the spring game. Really, what would they do in the spring game to change your opinion? I mean, it's all controlled. But, yeah. You know, I mean, they did pretty well considering the conditions. And this is the kind of conditions you're going to have in late November and or in late October, early November. So I thought it was good.
The takeaway I got out of it based on what I've seen and what I've read on it, and I've watched a little bit of the game on the SEC Network.
Sorry.
It was a chance for the Dogs to kind of get their backup quarterbacks a little bit of playing time to kind of see how they get it. They were going to do in the offense with some game type, at least simulation. Stetson Bennett and DeJuan Matthews both competing for the backup job behind Fromm. Both had decent days, nothing super duper stellar. Neither one of them are considered the five-star type quarterbacks, although Mathis was a four-star running pass option kind of quarterback coming out of the Detroit area. Bennett, for those of you unfamiliar, was with the Bulldogs a couple years ago as a walk-on. Elected to go to junior college to get some game experience and came back this year. And there's a lot of talk that despite him being a 5'10", 5'11" quarterback, that he's potentially the guy if Fromm gets hurt or something happens during the season. So that's, I think, what they were targeting.
I think that's good for the quarterback depth, too. And that's something that Georgia had to address immediately after Justin Fields left. And having him come back from junior college, I think is a good sign for Georgia that they've got some depth there, because he's got game experience. And you know, if Fromm should go down, they've got a guy that's has some game experience, somewhat at a collegiate level, but there's trust there. You know, my takeaway, as I said earlier, Phil, was, you know, I thought, as far as the quarterbacks, the windy conditions kind of played with them a little bit. I thought Fromm did a better job as far as dealing with the conditions. But again, it was a controlled scrimmage. I think receiver-wise, because I think Georgia's going to open – the opinion I got in watching that was Georgia's going to open up that offense this year. And they're going to display Jake Fromm as a Heisman Trophy candidate. And I think they're going to need to find a go-to receiver – for that to happen. You know, I was somewhat impressed with that defensive line of Georgia. You know, they didn't do a whole lot, but man, they can, I think that's going to be a strong unit. That front seven is going to be a strong unit for the Bulldogs. And I think Bulldog fans should be excited about that.
Hey, John, speaking of quarterbacks and teams with really good quarterbacks, the Oregon Ducks had their spring game this weekend. And the big story out in Eugene is the return of Justin Herbert. Or however you pronounce it.
No, you got it. No, it's I think that, you know, Wilkie, you mentioned showcasing someone for a Heisman Trophy run. I think that Oregon's going to do the same thing with Herbert. And jumping back to the point about Stetson Bennett really quickly, Bennett – in the system that he was in, I want to say it was either AA or AAA football in classifications in high school when he played at Pierce County High down in Blackshear, he pretty much lit the entire classification on fire and had a lot of passing yards despite the lack of perceived you know, it's just because you're 5'10", it didn't translate into being an ineffective quarterback on the high school level. But now that he's got the game experience at the junior college level, I think that's big in his return. But no, I think that once again, to Wilkie's point, I think that what Oregon is doing, and I think that, you know, probably you're going to see this with other teams. If they didn't do it in a spring game, then they're certainly going to do it in practice. Heading forward is that you're going to have guys who are going to be showcased. You're going to see the media blitzes come through. It's going to be like it was with Joey Harrington when they're putting rather large banners on the sides of buildings in New York City just to get the preseason hype going. But I think that with Fromm and Herbert, I think that you've got two of the first guys that are going to be in the inside lane for anything that's resembling any kind of Heisman coverage.
And Wilkie, 35,000 people showed up at Oregon for the game.
Yeah. Yeah, and they made that event in Eugene, and I'm glad to see that. Some Pac-12 team needs to take the reins like that and have a solid fan base. I've always thought that Arizona always had a more SEC-like fan base, but they're building something in Eugene. But Justin Herbert is going to be the showcase quarterback in the Pac-12. My opinion is Oregon is going to be the favorite to win the Pac-12 North. And probably win the Pac-12. I think Mario Cristobal has done a great job of building this roster. He's had some really good recruiting classes, and I think we saw some of that. If you watch some of the spring game, some of the depth that they have at the skill positions is going to pay dividends. And I really think Herbert's going to be in the mix for the Heisman Trophy if everything works out with his running backs and his skill players that can help him out. He's a top three quarterback in college football coming in, and Oregon's going to have a pretty impactful year in the 2019 season. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Ducks do.
Well, Coach, you talked about today being a big deal, spring ball, a big deal. 35,000 people here, the energy, and then you wanted to see the competition. What did you see in your players today?
Well, the first thing we saw is you come out and you see 35,000 people, and I'll tell you what, that's what can you say about that? The support here, the passion, the energy of these fans, best fans in America day in and day out. So I want to thank them first and foremost. Second thing is we want to watch our guys compete. We paired the ones against the ones, and we didn't hold back in that first half. It was live ball. We were tackling. We kept it simplistic on both sides of the ball, but certainly we saw what we wanted. We saw guys knocking each other back. We saw a lot of, execution that was positive and some that we need some work on, but overall it was good to see some of the veterans make plays and some of the new guys get involved as well. So we involved a lot of guys today. We got the ball spread around a lot. Guys tackle well in the first half, so successful spring game.
Yes, another team with trying to find some quarterback solutions. The Miami Hurricanes played it on Saturday as well. They played up in Orlando, and what was interesting is all the hype this offseason building up to this game was surrounding Ohio State transfer Tate Martell, but Martell didn't get most of the snaps. Nikosi Perry did, and Perry had a pretty good game, didn't he?
Well, Perry's been coming on lately in the spring drills, and I think he's kind of the favorite going in to fall camp to win the job. Obviously, he's been part of the program. Now it's his third year in the program. He'll be a redshirt sophomore. And, I think he's been given every opportunity. He's matured. I think he's starting to win the favor of offense coordinator Dan Enos. Now, Tate Martell is the big transfer that came in. And, I'm sure he's going to be in the mix. But, I heard a real interesting quote from Dan Enos saying that, he normally has a gut feeling with his quarterbacks, and he was quoted as saying he's had about five or six gut feelings this spring. But what I was impressed with was just tight end that they have, Will Mallory. It seems like Miami always has a great tight end who makes a big difference in the offense. And this Mallory kid had a pretty damn good spring game. And he's going to be a guy to watch this fall as part of the guys that's going to be in the rotation. Also, KJ Osborne had a pretty big day, the transfer from Buffalo. So they're building an offense. Dan Enos is building an offense. Now, as we talk about the quarterbacks, how many quarterbacks has Dan Enos developed? He got the Allen brothers in the NFL combines at Arkansas. Yeah, I think he really turned around the careers of Tua Tagovailoa and even Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. In fact, Hurts has credited Enos with turning around his career to where he's now going to be a starter at Oklahoma.
The quarterback whisperer?
Yes. So, any one of those guys. You know, I think Nikosi Perry has probably been needing this kind of coaching, and he has it now. And knowing what the skill set is, he might be the guy that leads the Hurricanes this fall.
Takes him to that next level. As we run through the very kind of short roster of spring games here on The Review, the OSG Talking College Football CFB, another Power 5 team with their spring game this week, the Oklahoma State Cowboys. A lot of skill position players there, no real quarterback. Mike Gundy's always had a team that's been known for their offensive prowess. Is this the year where the world kind of catches up to that and they've got to kind of find some other players?
Well, I think offensively they've got some firepower. It's just who's going to be those guys that are going to be leading the way. Spencer Sanders and Drew Brown are competing for the quarterback position. You know, you would think the redshirt freshman Spencer Sanders would be the favorite going into that. He's got some special skills. He's a dual threat guy, but he can be special on both ends of that. Chuba Hubbard is a guy I'm looking for, the running back. Remember how well he played toward the end of the year, especially in the Oklahoma game? Mm-hmm. They're going to expect a lot of that out of this year, and I think he's going to be one of the top running backs in the Big 12 this year. They have all sorts of offensive firepower. They recruited well on that side of the ball. Defensively, they're always a defense that allows a lot of yards, allows a lot of points, typical Big 12 defense, but they always seem to make one or two plays to be able to get the win. So defensively is going to be the struggle for OSU this year.
And we'll go with one last team here in a game that ended up being without a touchdown, a 3-0 spring game in California, the UCLA Bruins, a team that allowed 34 points a game last year, held their own offense to a big fat goose egg.
Now, how do you interpret that? Do you interpret that as the defense has radically improved or the offense has got some issues? I mean, that's a tough one. I know Dorian Thompson-Robinson and Austin Burton are battling for the quarterback position. Burton has really asserted himself in spring drills. You would think Thompson-Robinson would be the incumbent quarterback. I think Chip Kelly is kind of liking what he's seen out of Austin Burton, especially a guy that can throw a nice deep ball. But, you know, I think a few – maybe 20 people showed up for UCLA's spring game on campus.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, how do you guys interpret it? Do you think it's the defense that has radically improved? Do you think this offense that Chip Kelly's putting together, you know, is missing some parts?
I'm thinking the latter.
Why?
Chip Kelly decided on a quarterback?
Yeah, that's just me. And you know, Chip Kelly's system is not something that you can sit there and apply basic math to. I mean, this is straight up trig and calculus, and if you don't get it, it's going to take you a while. It's going to take you a while to get a passing grade in that class. And so, you know, I'm afraid it's going to take a couple of years for Chip Kelly to bring in the guys that he wants and make it fully his own program. So right now I'm looking at it as defense okay, offense not so much, and it's going to take a while for it to grow.
Defense less bad this year?
Yeah, well, defense less bad against its own offense that has more issues.
And yeah, you talk about, here's a contrast for you guys, 35,000 people in Oregon, maybe 35 people
move the Westwood.
So who would be the best team in L.A.? Would it be Southern Cal or would it be
Fullerton?
UCLA?
Yeah,
what about really? Northridge?
East L.A. City College.
Or any of the high school teams?
Yeah, really? Modern day? Well, actually, it'd have to be Long Beach Poly. Yeah, that's the best team in Los Angeles is Long Beach Poly.
For UCLA, it can't really get much worse, though. They were 3-9 last year. I mean, if Chip Kelly is even remotely worth what they're paying him, they should be expecting some improvement this season, shouldn't they?
In theory.
Well, they open against Cincinnati. I think that game is in Cincinnati.
Lost.
That game is in Cincinnati.
Lost.
And then they host San Diego State. They host Oklahoma.
Lost.
And then after that, they open conference play at Washington State.
Lost.
Then it's at Oregon.
Lost.
Hosting Oregon State.
Maybe.
Then they go to Stanford.
Lost.
Host Arizona State.
Lost.
And the Fighting Herm Edwardses. Mm-hmm. Then they host Colorado.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Go to Utah.
Lost.
Probably.
And then the crosstown game against Southern Cal at the Coliseum.
Yikes. 9-9 is that one. It's a tie.
Best case scenario, you're looking at 6-6, I think.
Well, I looked at that list, and I'm going, maybe you max out at 4-8.
Yeah, if they're 4-8, does Chip keep that job?
It's too expensive to fire.
He's there for the long haul. They've invested too much in Chip Kelly, UCLA, to cut the strings after 2 years. He's probably got another, I'd say 5 years. Because that has a total reclamation project that he's having to, at UCLA, that he's having to rebuild
his image. I've got him coming through one entire cycle of freshman to seniors, so I've got him at least for 5.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Gentlemen, I think we might call it a wrap here on the first block, and we can kind of get into the kitchen sink here as we hit block two in just a few minutes. A couple news and notes about the health of the one and only Nick Saban. I guess the operative phrase here would be, can we rebuild him? Not to insinuate that he's a robot.
He'll be cryogenically frozen and bionic and still be coaching Alabama at the age of 130. And Scott Cochran will be the same.
We'll talk a little bit about an athletic director change at LSU, a interim athletic director at Texas A&M, and a few legal issues for the son of a former NFL star. All that more when we return to the second block of the review. This is the OSG Talking College Football. You are listening to us on the OSG Sports Podcasting Network.
Everybody buckle up. Buckle up.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
Should we go to the store?
Come on, buckle up.
Ice cream.
Everybody, buckle up.
A lot goes on in the car, but you're in control. So only move when you hear the click that says they're buckled in. Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Soccer Down Here is sponsored by Apolinsky & Associates, LLC, personal injury lawyers with over 30 years of experience. Call Steve Apolinsky at 518-350-4231 or email him at steve@aa-legal.com if you need help with a wrongful death or serious injury matter. Steve Apolinsky is rated one of the top 100 trial attorneys in Georgia, recognized as legal elite by Georgia Trend magazine for being one of the most effective lawyers in Georgia.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance so common with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
If you want to scale a mountain, buy boots. If you want to turn your crush into something more, say hi. At Country Financial, we know protecting the things you love and preparing for tomorrow start with simple steps. So we help you take small steps today with insurance and financial services that can have a big impact on your family's future.
For all your home, auto, and life insurance needs, call Jason Wright at 678-568-6871.
Welcome back to the second half of the review, block number two, the B block, the kitchen sink, the stuff where we talk about lots of stuff. Guys, big changes down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. A new athletic director in place. Big implications for the football program there?
Well, first of all, Scott Woodward came as a Baton Rouge native and was at LSU and a smaller role in the athletic department, I guess an assistant AD role when Nick Saban was there. And, you know, he's the guy that has really built Texas A&M into, you know, potentially into a power by giving Jimbo Fisher all that money, giving Buzz Williams all that money in men's basketball. I mean, he's done a great job of in the money.
He's
in the money
done a great sports, job get, of spending
getting the
money.
Guy. Well, and that's part of the deal. That's what an AD's job is to do, is to hire the best head football coach he can find in the money sports and football and men's basketball. And he did that. And then he's got the SEC network to play with, money to play with too. So he's been building facilities like crazy at College Station. But, you know, the one job I guess that'd pull him away would be Baton Rouge. And he's now at LSU, and he's walking into a situation there where the men's basketball program is the one moneymaker is, well, it's very controversial right now with Will Wade. But with football, the chief revenue generator, you've got a coach in Ed Orgeron that's central casting to be the LSU head coach. But the results just haven't been there. And I don't think Scott Woodward's a type that's gonna be very patient with Coach O if he continues his act the way he's been doing.
They exceeded some expectations last season.
If Orgeron, now remember, he chased off Matt Canada in favor of Steve Ensminger, and what I read is he's still kind of meddled with the offense, but that, you know, that's something that's going to have to be between those two. I don't know if they worked together when Woodward was at LSU, and I know Orgeron had a stint as an assistant there for a little while, or what their relationship was like. But that's the one job that people in Baton Rouge are going to be watching as the years go by under Scott Woodward's watch, is the football program. And he's a guy that's going to get the best guy possible to coach his football program. And, you know, now on the back end of Texas A&M, what does that mean for Jimbo Fisher? He's been there for a year now. And one of the chief reasons why he went to A&M, not for the money, also for the money, but was his relationship with Scott Woodward.
Mm-hmm.
Do we start that rumor?
You just did.
Oh God, the buyout for that buyout for that contract has to be obscene, because that money was pretty much all guaranteed, wasn't it?
It was all guaranteed.
I couldn't imagine how much money it would cost to get Jimbo Fisher out of there, which doesn't, in the world of college football, I guess it's kind of a moot point.
Right. But I think A&M did the right thing by bringing in R.C. Slocum as an interim.
Yeah. Yeah, good guy to keep things kind of stable and running smoothly until they can figure out where they want to go in the administrative side of things.
But the results just haven't been there. And I don't think Scott Woodward's a type that's going to be very patient with Coach O if he continues his act the way he's been doing.
They exceeded some expectations last season.
Orgeron, now remember, he chased off Matt Canada in favor of Steve Ensminger. Mm-hmm. And what I read is he's still kind of meddled with the offense. But that, you know, that's something that's going to have to be between those two. I don't know if they worked together when Woodward was at LSU, and I know Orgeron had a stint as an assistant there for a little while, or what their relationship was like. But that's the one job that people in Baton Rouge are going to be watching as the years go by under Scott Woodward's watch, is the football program. And he's a guy that's going to get the best guy possible to coach his football program. And, you know, now on the back end of Texas A&M, what does that mean for Jimbo Fisher? He's been there for a year now. And one of the chief reasons why he went to A&M, not for the money, also for the money, but was his relationship with Scott Woodward.
Mm-hmm.
Do we start that rumor?
You just did.
Oh God, the buyout for that buyout for that contract has to be obscene, because that money was pretty much all guaranteed, wasn't it?
It was all guaranteed.
I couldn't imagine how much money it would cost to get Jimbo Fisher out of there, which doesn't, in the world of college football, I guess it's kind of a moot point.
Right. But I think A&M did the right thing by bringing in R.C. Slocum as an interim.
Yeah. Good guy to keep things kind of stable and running smoothly until they can figure out where they want to go in the administrative side of things. John, do you think Woodward messes with Coach O if they don't make it to the college football playoff or start challenging Alabama this season?
I think he gets the 1 year with you get the new boss bump. And then it's like, okay, you know, Woodward may have an idea as to whom he may want to bring in, but I think that this is the show me year for Ed Orgeron. And then actually I take it back. Here's how it'll probably play out. The first year is the show me year. If things are wrong, then it means a coordinator change. If things continue to go wrong after year two, then it's Ed Orgeron's hide. So I give it two seasons, or into the second season if the wheels have completely fallen off.
And as we all know,
season ticket sales.
Yeah.
And watch how many, if there's empty seats at Tiger Stadium.
Yes.
Yeah, that was what I was about to get at, too, is the notoriously finicky LSU Tiger faithful who expect to be 11-1 or 12-0 and competing for not only SEC but national championships on a yearly basis. Should be interesting to see how that all plays out. A couple other odds and ends going on. Kansas State wide receiver Hunter Rison suspended after domestic battery charges popped up. And if the name sounds familiar, there's a reason for that. Because Hunter Rison is the son of former NFL wide receiver Andre Rison himself.
Color me shocked.
How did he end up in Manhattan, Kansas?
He transferred from Michigan State.
Yeah.
Dad's alma mater, huh?
Uh-huh.
He actually played at Michigan State in 2017, catching 19 passes for 224 yards as a freshman, so he had some potential. Not sure exactly what it was that got him to leave Ann Arbor, his dad's alma mater, unless he didn't want to live in his shadow. But
you mean East Lansing?
Yeah, God. God, please forgive me for that one. Please do not send the wrath of the state of Michigan upon me. But
Starty's coming after you, pal.
Yes. But does this create a problem for new Kansas State head coach Chris Klieman, or is it just, oh, well.
I think it's his first test, but I think that, you know, once again, you have a new head coach who has an idea and a philosophy, and if Hunter's not on the straight and narrow, then, you know, obviously innocent until proven guilty in the case, but until that is decided, I think that Klieman treads lightly and just continues business as usual. You say the legally correct things when it comes to sound bites and being asked about it, but until there's any kind of resolution one way or the other, you'll get nothing but tab A, slot B sound bites from the new head coach.
I'll throw one more at you guys, and Wilkie, this is kind of in your arena a little bit. New announcement for the fledgling ACC network, as former Miami Hurricane and University of Georgia head coach Mark Richt becomes a studio analyst. Good move for the network to get things started.
Yeah, they needed a name, some kind of name for their studio shows. And, you know, Mark Richt has some cachet. And he's got no plans of getting back into coaching anytime soon, so if at all. And he's looking forward to the opportunity of being on TV. This, you know, maybe it'll be a little more exciting on TV rather than just kind of that same monotone.
Hey,
level
well, you
that
know,
he is that's
the whole time. That was a great block there by the right tackle, and you just saw him hit the hole there and had a choice to go inside or outside, and he just went right to the inside of it and cut it back for a 4-yard gain, second down.
The thing is, having covered him during a lot of his time at the University of Georgia, that's not how he is off camera.
Oh, I know. I've been around him quite a bit off camera. And, yeah, he's
you want a fat guy.
Yeah, I think he will as he gets more comfortable. He'll get coached up by the people at ESPN that do such things. And I think he'll be a great asset to the ACC network, whoever's watching it. Let's see how he does. I mean, I think, again, he's a name. He's going to be good for that network.
I like the move a lot. I mean, I think he's going to be excellent on TV. I think it's a great opportunity for him, and I believe him when he says, unlike many other of his peers, I actually believe him when he says he's not getting back into coaching, because quite honestly, I was surprised when he left, when he was, how do I phrase this? When he was canned at Georgia, I was somewhat surprised that he went back into coaching, because at the time when he left Georgia, he was a little bit burnt out on coaching.
But it was his alma mater that called him, and I think that kind of excited him. And, he changed things a little bit for the better at Miami, but I think the burnout factor was very evident toward midseason last year, especially with the quarterback situation, and he was ready to move on and do something else. And he's got a lot more going on than just football. I mean, he goes on a mission every year down to Honduras. He's very involved in faith-based organizations. And you know, he's going to be still occupied with football. So it'll be good to see him in that TV role as the analyst. And guys will need to work on maybe getting him on our podcast later down the year.
Absolutely. You guys got anything else you want to holler about while we're here talking and podcasting and doing all that sports talk type stuff?
Well, Oregon State revealed new uniforms.
They did.
And,
oh, God.
They did. And it has a tree ring designed. And on the front panel of their jerseys, it says Beavs on it.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
It's now Go Beavs.
Okay, that could go one of two directions.
Actually, could go more than two.
Well, the first two that popped into my head have to do with Frank Drebin and the other one has to do with Wally and his little brother. Those are the two that stuck with me.
Lest we forget, the MTV cartoon from the mid-1990s co-starring Butthead.
True. So there's three. So yeah, that's that's frightening.
And hilarious. I await the day, whether it's a bowl game or if they happen to schedule each other, Oregon State and South Carolina playing
Beavis
in a game.
Yes.
When the Beavs play the Cox.
See, there you go. It's, you know.
And hopefully nobody falls in a hole.
I am the great Cornholio.
Yeah, really? Yeah, we can't have that. that would not go. See, now he's played himself up. He's given himself a funny. And so for the rest of the show, he's just going to be cackling about thoughts in his brain about Beavs, Cox, and holes.
Because, you know,
then that brings up the old DX routine about Vince loving Cox, you know?
Never mind.
Say goodnight, Phil, before this goes to hell.
Goes to hell.
I am the great Cornholio. Peepee? Hey, for my bunghole. Peepee for my bunghole.
Okay, on that note, maybe we should wrap things up here on the review. We are the OSG. We are talking college football.
We're talking beeves, cocks, and the holes. What are you talking about?
And blatant 8-year-old innuendo jokes.
Sweet.
As John said at the beginning of the show, don't forget you can find us in a multiple variety of ways here on the social media, at OSG Sports on both Facebook and Twitter, YouTube. I don't think we have Instagram yet. I need to work on that.
No, we don't have IG, but we've got Facebook, Twitter, the individual Twitter handles, theonlinesportsguys.com for all the spleen venting. And soccer casting, which will come up over the summer. And then you've got the OSG Sports app available for iOS.
Don't forget the phone apps.
And Android.
Phone apps are good.
Yes, phone apps are good. And then they're free. You get instant notification as to when a new program is up online. And one final note for me, required reading for the week. Go to the New York Times and check out the article about the deep dive into Colorado's football program having to do with concussions, CTE coaching, and regret. It was a very good piece.
Do it. The man speaks the truth. All right, everybody. Time to wrap things up. Wilkie, it's always great to talk to you, my friend. Glad you made it back from your trip. And
thanks, sir.
I won't be here next week. It'll be just the two of you. So you kids enjoy doing the show.
Enjoy your beeves, cocks, and holes, kids. That's the bottom line.
Before my bunghole. Yeah. Pee pee for my bunghole. Yeah, pretty good. I need pee pee for my bunghole.
You said holes.
I did. That's awesome and stuff.
Time to say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
No. Go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
Eddie!